everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and distracting me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Was that the Trump dance? Was that what that was?
That was your white Trump dance from the other day.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
I watched that for like 30 minutes making those shorts. I was like, oh my God, it's so bad.
That's about how I dance, though.
Oh, I know it is.
I mean, he contacted me and he was like, hey, you got good moves. So he's like, I'll give you hair tips if you give me dance tips.
Oh,
and so
my
we traded.
God, that's great.
Tip
that
for tip.
That is perfect.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Do you remember when you got married? I know you do. Mm-hmm. And you did the bag thing.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Would you know where I could get that video? Any chance?
Dude, that'd be on like a camcorder somewhere.
I know.
Cell phone videos.
I've seen the video.
Oh, but, have you?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen the video.
Someone videoed it because I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what Facebook's for.
I have to ask my parents. I bet they know where it is.
Oh, I guarantee your mom knows where it is.
Yeah.
I will ask her.
Probably. Because she's the one who felt embarrassed and came out and took the bag off my head. Spilled the beans.
That's my son. Don't make fun of my baby.
Yeah. Oh. So for the listeners that weren't at my wedding, which is all of you, they played a prank on me because I am not good at dancing at all. And
no,
they said we were going to have a disguised dance contest. And so they took
all
the groomsmen and everybody in the wedding party on the men's side of things. Brought us out to the dance floor, put paper bags over our heads.
Yeah, and we danced.
And it was supposed to be a dance-off. And little did I know that everybody immediately took their bag off their head and just left me
dancing
by myself with a bag on my head in the middle of the dance floor.
I remember
dancing like Donald Trump before Donald Trump even danced.
I remember this quote from you, and I'll remember this forever. I thought I was drunk enough to win. That's exactly what you said to me.
Yeah.
I think I was just drunk enough to win. It was something like that. We'd had a few, not like canned or anything.
And if you want to picture me dancing, picture a perfect mismatched mashup.
You drunk by that.
Between
worse than me.
Donald Trump and Elaine from Seinfeld.
100%.
That is me dancing.
That is...
And maybe
that is the greatest analogy you could have come up with.
Maybe a little bit of Albert from Hitch.
And we talked about that the other day.
Maybe a little bit of that too.
If you can mix those three people together, yeah.
That is me.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. I posted in the Tradewinds group, this has been 6 months ago, about when George came to town and we went to the Chiefs game and did all that kind of fun stuff. And I had been in such a bad mood. And then George showed up, and then I was in a great mood. His calmness and his coolness and everything. And I did a whole Monday motivational about it for Tradewinds, right?
Right.
Man, I was depressed as shit today. Just sad. I've been having to take care of my 75-year-old neighbor who lives next door, which we may get into it a little bit. I don't know. But then I come over here, and I have a drink. I'm talking to my buddy, and Danielle's down there laughing and joking. I'm like, okay. You know, and then we sit down, we set up, starting feeling better. I already feel better, man.
Look at there.
I already feel better.
It's all about your circle.
It is about your
circle.
Gotta
have the right
circle.
I just posted about that today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Irony.
What did I say?
You look it up. I want to say just a couple of things about that. Like, if you're involved with people or close friends with people or whatever, and they're not lifting you up, and they're not encouraging you or, you know, being positive in your life, I mean, and I'm not talking about the one outlier that's like, you know, has a bad experience and it kind of brings you down. But like if it's consistent, get those people out of your fucking life, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's my age. I'm 43. I don't know if I've just had enough bullshit that I've been able to realize I don't want to be miserable all the time. And it's just kind of one of those realizations you come to.
Yeah.
But man, it's so true. The older I get, the more true it seems to be.
We put too much stock in other people's opinions, for sure. Especially people's opinions that haven't garnered our respect for their opinion yet.
Yeah.
Maybe a wonderful opinion, but if I don't know you that well, I can't
Yeah.
I haven't vetted you enough to trust your opinion, right?
Yeah, which is weird because, you know, in kind of the political climate we're in now, like, you know, these protests that are going on and stuff, which is complete bullshit. But it's just all, it's this full-on onslaught of negativity constantly. It's just boom, 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 boom all the time. And it's like, man, sometimes you know what you need? You need to see a good friend of yours.
Yeah.
And go over to his house and do a stupid-ass podcast that a few people listen to and have your spirits lifted, you know?
Have a little bit of accountability.
Yeah. Like, hey, man, what do we got going on today?
Yeah.
You know, it just lifts you. It lifts you up. And, like, you're right. If those people aren't in your circle and they're not a part of your weekly, daily, monthly lives, it's like, why are you even fucking dealing with them?
Yeah. Yeah, 4 hours ago, I posted, watch out for the people that provoke you until they bring out your ugly side and then play the victim when you go there.
Yeah.
Those aren't your people. The ones who spot others doing this to you, those are your people.
That is good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because there's a lot of people that do that. They bait you into an argument just to get you nasty.
Yeah.
And then they highlight your nasty.
Yeah.
And so I've got this acquaintance of mine on Facebook.
Is this the guy that I crushed a couple times?
No.
You know what? He has been gone for a while.
Well, he still shows up in my comments.
Well, I haven't seen any super negativity. Listen. I don't see them all. You got to forward them to me.
No, he doesn't show up directly in my comments.
Okay.
He'll reply to people in my comments.
That's what I'm saying.
He's like nut swinging on my following.
That's what I'm saying. I don't see those.
Yeah.
And when it's a bunch of bullshit, you have to send it to me.
So far, they haven't been bullshit, but you bet I will call them out whenever it happens.
Well, I'll just
tag you in it too. I'll be like, hey, Dave, check this out.
Yeah, you should because like I did those for a little bit and people have no idea what we're talking about, but. Like, and then I quit seeing him.
Yeah.
So I thought, maybe I did do a little bit of good.
No, I bet he throttled back for a little while.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
So,
got my purple straw here.
There's you mentioned the tense political climate that we're in right now and everything else. And there's probably a lot of friendships being severed or being strained with all of that. But it's our job as humans to listen to understand instead of listen to respond or listen to counter so that you can be right. Sometimes it's not about being right. Sometimes it's about gaining understanding, right? And so I intentionally keep a wide, diverse range of people on my Facebook feed because I'm constantly trying to understand where other opinions are coming from, right? Perception is reality. And so if their perception is this, that's their reality. Whether it's true or not remains unknown. It's not my reality, but it's theirs.
I completely understand that. And I do the same thing. I have never, ever unfriended or blocked someone because we differ in our political views and it doesn't matter what it is. I want to hear what they have to say. I will make posts that says, you know, that say things like, hey, now that Trump's in office, all of you anti-Second Amendment people, if you really think that he's going to be a dictator, does that change your view on the Second Amendment?
Do you want to go buy a gun now?
Do you feel like if you need to stand up for yourself, does that change your view on it? And they won't say anything.
No.
You know, they never do. The problem, and to your point, gaining understanding from others and what I think is the most irritating and stressful thing for me is I'm willing to do that and I'm willing to debate calmly with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know you're wrong. It doesn't get under my skin, but tell me your thoughts and ideas and I will listen to them. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to tell you mine and I would assume you would do the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but they don't.
Yeah.
And they scream and they yell. And when you make valid points, they get mad and they throw temper tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
Protests,
mm-hmm.
hands-off protests, all those are adult temper tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they are. And you won't listen. Now, how can you come out and say we all have to fucking coexist? And when someone validates their own point or invalidates yours, how are we no longer coexisting?
Right.
Like if I come to them and I say, hey, we have to coexist, they scream and yell when I say, I want to coexist in my own way.
Yeah.
When they come to me and say, I want to coexist, and I say, that's fine. Let me be me and let me be you. And then we go our separate ways. It's fine. Why is that a double standard? I think right now what's going on bothers me more than anything because mm-hmm. you know me, I am friends with a vast array of people. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I don't judge anyone. I don't. And for those of you that are anti-Christian, God says, do not judge other people. I will do that.
Right.
So I don't.
Right.
Hey, you do you, dude. You do whatever you want to do. But I ask that you let me do me.
Yeah.
Don't expect me to change to make you feel better if you're not willing to do the same for me.
Right.
And that is what makes me... This is the first time I've felt like this in a long time. It makes me so fucking mad that... I think I might do something stupid.
Yeah.
If I saw someone out there that was acting a fool.
Yeah.
Like, if I had a Tesla, man, and say I take the girls out, and I see somebody's
and you get keying, one of those videos.
Yeah. Keying that thing, that dude's beat to death.
Oh, yeah.
On the plaza. Like, yeah. I'm going to beat that motherfucker to death.
Yeah.
And for the first time in a long time, I'm a little scared of what I might do. And I don't want to be that way.
Right.
I really don't. I want all of us to be able to come together, realize we have differences, and be like, hey, man, it's cool.
Yep.
We're going to have all 4 years like you had your last 4 years. Mm-hmm. When Biden was in office, guess what? We didn't burn cities to the ground.
Yeah.
We didn't act a fool. We didn't have to have a fucking protest or an adult temper tantrum every fucking week because we didn't agree with what the government was doing. No, we let them do it because they won the... I know what you're going to say.
Well, I guess Trump was in office when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and they burned their city to the ground.
That's because they're dipshits. But yeah, you're right.
And either way, they were burning their city to the ground.
They were burning their city down no matter what. But it just speaks to the irrational behavior that they have. It literally is a temper tantrum for not getting what they want.
Yeah.
And it drives me insane. Like, I posted today. I don't know if you saw it. I said... The stock market is starting to rebound. A bunch of other countries have realized that we have to lower our tariffs so that they'll lower theirs, and we will have free and open, not free, but free and fair trade, open and fair trade. And if, you know, there's been a whole bunch of waste and overspending and everything uncovered, if a Democratic president had done that, he'd have a gold statue put up already.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be worshiping some fucking, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But no, it's a Republican. Orange man bad. We can't do it. Why don't you just look at the results and not be a complete piece of shit?
Well, and half of it is like, how about you wait for results? So like, I have a friend of mine.
Yeah, it's not even been 100 days. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I have a friend of mine that is on the left, and I would say he's pretty far left.
I have a bunch of left friends too.
And
I want to punch him.
He's constantly, you know, 5-6 times a day making anti-Trump posts. And most of them I dismiss, but if there's one where I have an opinion on or he's just way off base on or whatever, I'll comment on it. And
you're like me. You will comment something smart, get people to think.
I just, here's a different perspective, right? And so, you know, they're all bashing Trump for the stock market thing. And, you know, oh, he campaigned on, you know, the best stock market ever. And it's like, well, give him the 4 years. Like,
well, give him the 6 months.
I mean, just.
It's been one quarter. What do you.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. And you know, I think the best theory I've heard for what's happening is that they have a plan, and this isn't a conspiracy theory, this is like the most logical explanation for what they're doing, is tank the stock market and tank the price of oil, and that forces the feds to lower the interest rates.
Well, that's what they want. I know that.
And then if the feds lower the interest rates, then we refinance the American debt at a dramatically lower interest rate and save billions in interest.
And if you cut government waste on top of that...
Right.
Guess what we've done? For the first time in God knows how long, maybe we cut some of our national debt.
Yeah. And throughout the history of the stock market, there has never, ever been there's not ever any 10-year span. You can pick any 10 years of the stock market you want. There is not ever any 10-year span where the stock market ended lower than it started.
Yeah.
Sometimes those 10 years are more impressive than others. Sometimes that's due to our president. Sometimes that's due to situations out of our control. Sometimes it's global impact, right? Like COVID wrecked the stock market, and maybe our president could have swayed that one way or the other, but we were fighting a global issue there.
Yeah.
And so sometimes your hands get tied, right? These trade wars, this is a global issue, right?
Yeah.
Global trade, but it's wrecking our stock market temporarily. But you look at most of the smart people in the world, and they already pulled their money out because they knew tariffs are going to temporarily disrupt the stock market. So they pull their money out, they let it disrupt the stock market and tank it, and then they're going to go buy low and put it right back in. And they get a chance to reposition themselves at a stock market with a much lower purchase price.
Yeah. I posted a video the other day. It was Nancy Pelosi in 1995 or 1996.
Yeah.
And she was talking about the benefits of tariffs.
I've seen that video.
It's great.
Here's what's funny. Nancy Pelosi used to look good. She used to be pretty attractive.
I don't want to say no. Okay, no. Stop. Stop.
I'm just saying it.
I think my dick knows when it's going to be in the devil. I think it would just be like, not happening.
Well, I'm not saying I could get hard. She doesn't look
She looked bad. She doesn't look like death warned over.
Skeletor now.
But literally, Democrats, Republicans, politicians from 2000 and earlier were saying, this is how we have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever wanted to do anything about it. So what happened? It got worse.
Mm-hmm.
It got worse. It got worse. It got worse. And Trump knew, if I threaten these on other countries, they are going to renegotiate the tariffs that we pay now, mm-hmm. which saves American jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It brings jobs back.
It saves
people money on things they buy from other countries. It's fucking common sense.
Yeah.
Like the fact that it took this long to get that right is a problem. This is not even something that we should protest. This is not something we should be upset about.
And it's not even right yet. We're watching it happen. And that's one of the frustrating parts about it is we're watching a multi-nation negotiation on several fronts occur. And we're getting a play-by-play update. But every play-by-play update we get, people are walking away from that update as this is the final outcome of the negotiation.
Like it's because they're dumb.
Yeah, when Trump and Zelensky didn't score a deal in the White House and Zelensky disrespected our White House and tried to turn it into a PR stunt in front of the media and everything else, and everybody called him out on it. And everyone's like, oh, the art of the deal, the deal maker wasn't able to make a deal. And it's like, well, it's a big fucking deal. And
big deals aren't done over lunch.
It's not done over 2 hours.
Yeah, it's not a four-hour golf thing where you're trying to negotiate a $2 million deal for a housing project. We're talking global economies.
Yeah,
they
and war.
They have to be changed.
And war.
I wasn't even going to go war. But you're right. I mean, it's just...
And so this stuff takes time. You don't sign a deal with a builder to build you a house, and then 3 days after you sign the deal, you don't go... Well, this builder sucks. I paid him to build me a house. Where's my house?
Yeah.
Like, shit takes time, right?
Yes.
You don't commit to paying off debt and then, well, maybe this is what happens. You commit to paying off debt and then when you still have debt 3 days later.
You know what? That's probably true. A lot of people are that fucking dumb.
Right. But it's funny how they will use, you can always tell a critic from an open-minded person because a critic will take literally every example under the sun and spin it to slight their opponent.
Yeah.
And much like the stock market thing and everything else, right? And so the stock market thing is widely used as a measure of Trump's effectiveness or lack thereof, right? They're trying to say that he's a poor leader because look what's happening to the stock market, as if this is the end. And Business Insider posted a story that says the wealthiest 10% of Americans own 93% of all the stocks in the stock market. The bottom 50% of Americans only owns 1% of all the stocks in the stock market.
Yeah.
But yet those are the people crying
about the stock market.
About the stock market.
It's because they use it as a tool to try and push their agenda or their point or their malice at Trump or Musk or whoever. And listen, the bottom third of Republicans that were poor, living in trailers in Florida, in Missouri, they did the same thing when Biden's market went down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to get off task here, but, like, when his market went down, everyone did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just panicked and moaned and bitched and cried and whined. It was like, no, no, no. Like, and that was one of the things that I, like, they say that people that are brainwashed on one side or the other cannot see any fault
right.
in their own party. Like, I saw fault in that. Oh. I was like, what are you guys doing? The market's always going to come back. Shut your mouths.
Right. I saw, like, I don't agree one bit the way Trump handled COVID. Rushing the vaccine, not stopping a lot of the actions that were happening. Like, I just read an article today where they reinstated, they're reinstating all the members of the military that were terminated because they refused the vaccine.
Yeah.
And they're giving them back pay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They've been talking about that for a while.
And they should.
Yeah.
100%. And what's funny is there's a lot of people like mad facing that article.
Yeah. Maybe we should take some of that transgender money that we stopped spending in Guatemala and yeah. pay those veterans, you know, what they have coming to them.
Yeah.
You know, just to make sense.
Well, it's like, how in the world could anybody be mad about that? And sure enough, there's people that are like, wait, we have people in our military that refuse orders. They need to be out. We don't want those people in our military. And it's like, hold on. You do want free-thinking, responsible individuals in your military that were able to see a slightly bigger picture and take their personal health into their own hands. Like, you do want that.
Yeah.
And so, there are people out there that will take even a story like that's nonpartisan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not left or right or anything, but they'll still take a story like that and find a way to hate Trump over it.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
They will literally take any opportunity they can to drag down someone that doesn't believe what they believe 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with keeping our democracy up and running.
Yeah.
Is there are certain people on both sides that will not even listen,
mm-hmm.
that will not even think about and then, you know, based on fact, change their mind
right.
or their opinion. And it's a real problem. It's the stock market. I shouldn't say it's the stock market thing, but to get back to that, like, people don't realize that the stock market is publicly traded and it's owned by guys like you and I
mm-hmm.
that have stocks. So when the stock market crashes, it's not necessarily, like, it is based on decisions that the government makes that then you decide, I think I'm going to lose money here, mm-hmm. and so I'm going to pull my money out. If you panic and pull your money out, you're the person that's making the stock market go down.
And
like it is regular people that are crashing the market because of fear. So when the media
mm-hmm.
says, oh my God, these tariffs are going to make the stock market crash, and half
the
of the people
is crashing it.
The half of the people go and pull their money out,
mm-hmm.
the media crashed it by opening their fucking mouth and they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Well,
like, do you think
the media crashes it on purpose because the media is trying to make Trump look bad?
Yes.
Right. It's a market manipulation specifically to try to make Trump look bad.
In certain areas, yes, I will agree with that. And people that, like Warren Buffett, okay, you think he doesn't know that those stories are going to come out?
Yeah.
And so he pulls certain monies out of certain areas and then holds on to it. And when that thing gets down to 38,000, doesn't put that money right back in.
Right.
No, he knows it's coming.
Yeah.
You know who else knows it's coming? Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Schumer.
Yeah.
All of these Republicans that I'm not even going to name because I don't care. Hawley. You think they don't know? They know.
Right. So what's another thing that's wild is there's this blanket observation that nobody likes Trump and nobody likes Musk.
Except for the more than 50% of the country that voted for him.
Right, right.
Yeah. other than those people.
But they don't like them because they don't think billionaires should be in a position of government. And it's like, hold on.
Are you talking? Are we talking about Bernie Sanders here or no?
No.
Okay, is he exempt from the conversation?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I apologize, Mitch. Go ahead.
And so, what they're missing is like, okay, we don't want somebody to come into government that's already a billionaire. We would much rather have somebody to come into government that's a 100,000-aire
and then become a billionaire,
and then become a millionaire or a billionaire on their $200,000 a year salary.
Yeah.
Right?
Somehow they've just flipped a switch when they got elected and it made them smarter.
Right.
And then allowed them to make that money outside of office.
Right.
No, it's called insider trading, you
it's
bucks.
Called NGOs.
I don't understand. I've seen some things about Musk, and like, he's a rich elite, and we don't want to blah, 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 this and that. And like, what do you think Soros is doing? He's literally a billionaire that's paying people to protest.
What do you think Nancy Pelosi is? A rich elite.
Yeah. That's pushing the agenda you like so it doesn't offend you.
So,
like, it's not a problem then. It's only a problem when it's someone that's against you.
We don't mind the liberal rich elites. Like, and that's the thing is when they're talking about Republicans, they'll take blanket washing statements like rich elites.
Yeah.
But then when you talk about everyone else is, oh, they earned it. Right.
Yeah, we're not talking about Bill Gates or Bezos or
Zuckerberg
or any of those guys that have been funneling billions of dollars into the political system to push the left's agenda.
Right.
But no, those guys don't count because they're on our side.
Right.
And they're our friends.
It's no different than, you know, as early as 2 years ago, everyone was praising Musk for being such a visionary and being so cutting edge and so smart. And he's created so many jobs and, you know, he's such a great thing. And, you know, green and environmentalist and, you know, all this stuff.
We love him. He is the new savior of the world.
And so they take those exact same things. And now once he sides with Trump, now they hate him. And what's funny is they hate him for the very things they love him for. 2 years ago, they said that he's created so many jobs. He's a visionary, blah, blah, blah. Now, they take the exact same scenarios that caused those statements, and now they say that he's made his billions on the backs of Americans.
Yeah.
He's pretty much, you know, slave labor.
Yeah.
Employees are slaves. And,
no.
And, all that. And it's like, hold on.
No, that would be LeBron James taking money from Nike and then having kids actually build those shoes. Okay?
Yeah.
That is a piece of shit.
Yeah. But, like, I refer to this, I don't know what the right term is. I call it opportunistic offense. And that's where people are just taking an opportunity to be offended because the opportunity is there, not because they're actually offended.
Yeah.
It's no different than like, okay, I don't like Musk. So if I see some stranger driving a Tesla that now has nothing to do with Musk, Musk has already made his money on that Tesla because the guy bought it already.
Yeah.
Right?
It's over. It's that person's hard-earned money sitting out there.
Yeah. And so now we're going to damage it, which literally only makes Musk's more money. Because if I own a Tesla and you spray paint it or you key it or you dent it or whatever and I got to go buy new body panels, what am I buying them from Ford? No, I got to buy them from Tesla.
Yeah.
Guess who makes money when I buy body parts from Tesla? Musk.
Yeah.
Right? Guess who makes money when you burn my Tesla? And now I have to go buy a new one.
The insurance companies.
Tesla just sold another unit.
Well, they're not going to probably buy another Tesla. But yeah, to your point, yes.
Right.
Like if that person loved their Tesla and they want another one, yeah.
Right.
Like their the insurance that, hey, guess what? All of us pay into that. You're only hurting yourself.
Right.
Wrote that person a check. That person is like, I loved my Tesla. I have to have another one. They go buy another one.
Right.
What are you doing, you dumb fucks?
You're not hurting Musk in the slightest.
No,
not,
you think he gives a shit?
Yeah.
He doesn't.
If
will
anything,
say
you're
this,
helping him.
He may care because I think he may actually care for people and like want to do the right thing. I think that's why he bought X and why he's doing what he's doing now.
Yeah.
But it's not going to hurt him financially. I posted something. This has been, I don't know, maybe last week that it was talking about this. Like, how can you key an individual's car or put a swastika on it? Those people more than likely voted the same way you did.
Right.
They believe what you believe. That person spent their hard-earned money to make the planet greener, thought they were doing the right thing, and then you're only going to hurt your kind because you think that you're hurting Elon Musk. And most of the things that were on there were, you know, in cooperation or in agreement with what I said.
Mm-hmm.
This guy I know, his name's Russ. I love Russ. I think he's a very, very smart person. All he put in his comments was a picture of the Boston Tea Party, of mm-hmm. them throwing, like he was supporting what they were doing. They're protesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I put on there, dude, those people didn't go to individuals' homes, steal their tea, drive it out to the sea, and throw it in there.
Yeah.
Pull your fucking heads out of your asses.
Right.
Like, people that are so smart, so bright, have made a ton of money and literally are making great differences in this country. It's like their common sense meter has shut the fuck off, and they can't use it. They have no common sense. They have no grasp on what reality actually is. I am not a super smart, educated person, but I can see six steps deep.
Right.
Like, what the fuck sense does that make? It's protesting. By yeah. hurting an individual is not protesting.
Yeah.
It makes me, and this is what I was saying earlier before the show and all that, it makes me sad and depressed to see that, to see what Americans will do to each other to try to affect someone that they're not affecting at all.
Right.
To try to dictate change that's not going to happen. They're going to hurt their neighbor.
Yeah.
They're going to hurt someone close to them because they're too fucking stupid to understand what's actually going on.
Right.
Yeah. I hate it, man. I hate it.
So yesterday I posted.
Oh, I hate it. I'm going to turn this fucking table over in here. Should I? Should I just like make a scene?
Maybe that'll get people to listen.
What the fuck is that supposed to
be? So yesterday I posted, we don't fight evil to prevent them from doing evil things. We fight evil to prevent them from doing good as they understand it.
Yeah.
And so in other
perception
words.
Perception is a real thing.
Yeah. So in other words, what we view as evil acts from somebody else, they view as doing good. Their perception of what they're doing is this is good, this is right, this is the way we should go. And so a lot of times when you get into this good and evil thing, you end up with a battle of a lack of understanding somebody else's perception. And you know, it's perfectly okay to agree to disagree. It's perfectly like, we wouldn't want a society where we all think the same way.
No, of course not. But that's what certain people protesting temper tantrums are.
That's what they
That's what they want. Like I was saying earlier, the coexist thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They want us to coexist as long as we agree with them.
Yeah.
You know what we call that? Nazism.
Yeah. It's interesting when you get a tense political climate, and we're in this for another 4 years, by the way, at least, because the media will not allow Trump to win.
Well, you're right. Now, I will say this, like, just in response to that, and I'm going to let you finish. I think people have gotten a little smarter. Like, news I don't have cable or DirecTV. I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch MSN. I don't watch any of that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I watch independent news and then form my own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, you can see people that watch CNN, MSNBC, all that, like their ratings have tanked.
Yeah.
And people are watching Newsmax and Fox, and I think it's because they are trying to actually understand what's going on. Now, regardless of which way it goes, the fact that people are changing their viewpoint from one to the other and trying to understand and go back and forth, I think that's a positive silver lining.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, so I've referenced him a couple of times, this friend of mine on Facebook that is far left leaning. He and I were in a open discussion about things, and his buddies kept chiming in, and his buddies were name calling and attacking and all this stuff. And
I'm with Keith Goss. I need names.
Yeah,
and I don't even addresses.
I don't even reply to that stuff.
No, that's why I need the information.
As long as we're staying productive and seeking to understand, then I'll keep talking.
Yeah,
right?
I'll listen to anything if it's productive.
Yeah. And And so all things were productive, but a lot of times when you have somebody with different beliefs than you, they do like a lily pad narrative jump where they'll be talking about the economy. And so you reply with an economy related reply. And then they're like, well, what about this? Cause there's racism. And they totally jump to a different narrative. And it's because you started to prove a really good point and you started to sound
like
a little too good. And so they just jumped to a different narrative, right?
Yeah.
And so this started out as a conversation about the stock market and about tariffs and about what is the long-term play with all these. And, you know, the day tariffs were announced, a lot of people raised prices and they're like, oh, well, this is permanent. And it's like, hold on, this is a negotiation. This is, you know, a snapshot.
Yeah, it's the COVID thing.
And so, again, this guy starts jumping from lily pad to lily pad, and we end on the fact that he was trying to say that nobody is in support of these and nobody likes Trump and everything else. And I'm like, hold on, the guy won a landslide election.
Yeah.
And I said he won every swing state. He won the Electoral College and he won the popular vote. Like,
what do you mean nobody?
And he's like, no, he actually only won by like 1.4%.
Do you know what 1.4% is?
I understand.
Of the vote?
He's like,
it gets to be fired up, man.
Yeah, he's like, he only won by 1.4%. So that would, he knows I'm a Chiefs fan, and so that would be like your Chiefs winning, you know, 49-48, and you saying that's a landslide win. And okay, well, one's an election, and one's a fucking football game.
Yeah, well,
also, can you point to me presidents in history that won the Electoral College, that won the popular vote, and won every single swing state in existence?
No, you can't.
And I'm like, I don't think you can. So that by definition is a landslide. And he wanted to argue that it wasn't. And so then he started going, and I hate using this word, but he started going narcissistic, where he's telling me something is something that it's not, or something isn't something that it very clearly is. And so he's trying to tell me that, no, that's not a landslide election. And it's like, dude, I don't know what else you would call a land. Won by the largest margin ever.
I don't understand why people think that their opinions are facts.
Right.
That's exactly what he was doing. Well, my opinion is that that's not a landslide, and that makes it a fact. No, it doesn't.
Right.
That makes it your opinion, and your opinion to me doesn't mean shit.
Right.
I'm sorry. You should have been like, you know, if the Chiefs were, you know, playing the Buffalo Bills and they scored 1,000,000 points, that means the Buffalo Bills only would have scored like 960,000 or whatever 1.4% of 1 million is. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so now we've got some perspective on exactly what that means.
Well, I mean,
one point is one touchdown.
If you really want to try to compare it, then let's say, okay, the Chiefs won the battle of the clock. They had possession, time of possession more. The Chiefs had more offensive yards. The Chiefs had more defensive turnovers. The Chiefs had more points in each individual quarter. Like, the Chiefs were leading at halftime. The Chiefs never lost the lead. Like, and if they still only won by like 4 points, that's still a dominant win. If you dominated the clock, you dominated passing yards, you dominated rushing yards, you dominated defense, you dominated points.
Yeah.
That's a dominant win. It doesn't matter that you blew them out.
Yeah.
That's still a landslide win.
What does Vin Diesel say?
Yeah,
whether you win by an inch or a mile, winning's a win.
Right.
Winning's winning. Like, hey, dude, and what I, they will discredit a win because they think if Kamala would have won by the same margin, well, it was a landslide. We dominated.
Yeah,
you'd be saying the same thing.
Right.
Like what? Just because you win, or just because you lose, doesn't mean everyone then has to agree with you. That's the real problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're seeing this a ton now, and the reason we're even talking about this is because it's our job as business owners to make sure that we stay apprised to this, because it's our duty as Americans to stay apprised to it.
Yeah.
But we don't let it distract us from the day-to-day operations of our business. And we don't let it distract us from the day-to-day conversations that we're having with vendors and employees and customers and everything else, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you, if you went to a customer's home that has a rainbow flag out front and has a Biden-Harris, you know, sign in the yard or whatever, like, you don't give them any different level of service that you would anybody else.
No, I don't.
It's just not in our nature to do that. And if you are doing that, then you really need to like reevaluate your priorities, because your priority is probably not business. Your priority is probably just to try to get some attention somewhere.
Well, you need to this is going to sound stupid. Prioritize your priorities.
Yeah.
Because they are not in line with what they should be.
Right.
Your first priority should be make sure your business is running as efficiently as it can.
Yeah.
Making the most money it can. And you can't do that when you're putting your own personal beliefs ahead of making sales and taking care of your employees. And that is a problem.
Smart business people don't care about politics. They know the market is ever changing. They know that there's 1,000 external situations that will affect markets, and they're examining those situations for whatever they are and whatever their cause is, and they're making business decisions in accordance with it.
Yeah.
You don't see Warren Buffett praising or burning down any politician.
No.
All you see is Warren Buffett change his position based off of what his experience tells him he needs to do.
Yeah.
And it's no different. You know, I tend to go the Republican way. I'm more of a like right-leaning libertarian
than
anything else.
We're both libertarians. We want everyone to leave us alone and let us do our own shit.
Yeah. And ironically, that guy that I was arguing with on the internet, he was like, no, you're definitely far right. You are totally MAGA. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't go there at all. I am not totally MAGA.
But, no, you are. And that's enough. God, I don't want to get on a whole nother thing here. That is a made up term.
Yeah.
And then the definite, like, I want to make America great. That's what he said. And then they took that,
they
made
take
it
that
MAGA,
and make it.
And then they were like, okay, anyone that believes this is now this person.
Yeah.
They created a definition of it.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyone in this country should technically be MAGA.
Yeah.
Make America great again.
We all want the same thing.
We
all just have
want
different
America?
Ideas for how to go about it.
Yeah. Like, technically, we should all be that.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, man?
You want America to be great. It's just you have a different definition of great than I do.
Or a different definition of America.
Or a different definition of a woman. But...
Stop. The Constitution says what it says.
Yeah.
We have got to move on.
Yeah. I watched some some politician was the Trump enacted some 200-year-old law to do something, and it had to do with like the deportation stuff. And there was some news reporter being like, you really had to go back to a 200-year-old law to make this happen? Like, don't you think that means you have a weak case? And the politician goes, 200-year-old laws still apply, much like our Constitution, and we still follow that.
Yeah. Does anyone even know what the first line of the Constitution is? It's we the people, motherfucker.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
God. So, God, people are ignorant.
So, all of this applies to business from the standpoint of these are the distractions that derail most people in business. Most people in business will get greatly distracted by this.
Yeah.
And they let it tank them, and they let it wreck them. I hate the political distractions. There's a group on Facebook called the Plumbing Mafia, and there's been this guy in there that every day is posting like 7 to 10 political posts that have nothing to do with plumbing.
This is not the group, dude.
Right, it's not the place for it. And so I do a little bit of
fuck,
I do just a surface level amount of digging.
Is he being paid by Soros?
Well, the guy has 22 Facebook friends. And so it's painfully obvious that he doesn't have anybody to listen to him.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of like that wimpy kid that gets picked on in high school and then he shows up with a gun because now everybody has to listen to him. He's using the gun as
I wish you wouldn't have chosen that analogy, but yeah, you're right.
But I mean, that's true.
No, it's true.
Most
it's
school
true.
Shooters
yeah.
fit that profile, right?
Yeah.
And so he's putting these posts in the Plumbing Mafia group simply because people have to listen to him there.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, 100,000 people in that group or whatever. There's a lot of people in there. And specifically in that group, because that group, their rules for that Facebook group are like they have one rule, and that's don't report shit to the admins. In other words, the admins are like, I don't want to babysit, right? and so I, you know, after 3 or 4 days of this and having to see this guy's stuff, I ended up making a post in the group and I tagged him in it. And I just said, dude, please remove yourself from the group and go see a therapist. You have 21 friends on Facebook. You don't have anybody to listen to you. And so you put all your political shit in here, which is not the place for it.
Oh.
Just because you want people to listen to you. and you joined this group thinking you joined 100,000 friends. It's really fucking annoying.
Yeah, stop, bro. If you want, a friend, message me privately. I'll be your friend. Like, if you want to talk about some shit.
So he started obviously trying to attack me, and then he shows up with a different profile, one letter different in his last name. So obviously, so some of the stuff that he was attacking me with was pretty aggressive, and I'm willing to bet he broke Facebook's community standards, and his account got shut down.
Yeah.
So now he's showing up in a different account where he has a total of 3 friends, and he's still trying to attack and still trying to attack. And he's doing the whole, like, and he got called out for it, too. He's taking screenshots of my company's 1-star reviews and posting them back in this group.
Oh, fuck.
And
what a douche.
Yeah. And they were like, whoa, hold on. Is this cancel culture?
Oh, shit.
And they, like, and it's proof.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And it's proof that there's a lot of people that blindly fight so hard for something that they end up becoming the very thing they were fighting against.
Yeah.
Right. And that's exactly what he's doing. And so I stop, you know, I'm ignoring him because I'm not trying to poke the bear. I'm just trying to say, like, dude, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not here to argue. It's just,
this is not the place.
Yeah.
Like, this is for plumbing.
Right.
Hello.
And, plumbers. You know,
plumbers are dumb. What do you want to say?
Right. Right. And
sorry, guys.
Thankfully, we haven't gotten any 1-star reviews from that whack job, but you know, it could happen.
Yeah.
It could totally happen.
Oh yeah. 100%.
But those of us with businesses and those of us with employees and those of us with a legitimate voice, there's an expectation from us that we do good with that platform.
We do the right thing.
Yeah, that we do good with our employees and we do good by our employees and we do good with our customers and by our customers and we do good with our finances and by our finances and we do good with our platforms, right? This podcast, for example, we've done this for like 3 years now and...
I think we're on... This is going to be 4.
Yeah, we're coming up on 4 years, like
this is
starting fourth year.
No, we're on our 4th year.
Yeah, and... You know, we put out a lot of this content for no charge. It's totally free. And it's because we have the knowledge and we have the platform to try to do good with it. And so that's what we do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's be honest. If you think it's fucking easy, I got to come over here and listen to Mitch and his wife once a week for 4 years. It's painful.
It's painful.
It's painful. I'm kidding. Of course, it's in jest.
But
it's not easy. It's not easy to consistently do that.
Right. Right. Our price book that we sell that thing for a fraction of its value, right?
It costs, if you want to know the truth, it costs me more time some weeks than fucking it's worth.
Yeah.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Yeah. And so, but David and I were in the position to arm the lower end size of businesses with the most powerful price book available on the market. So we did, right? We aren't the pharmaceutical companies that are jacking the price of that book up a bunch just to make money. We're selling the book. We've got the book priced at a level to where
anyone can buy
and
it.
Literally anybody can afford it, right? $250 for a turnkey price book. Who can't afford that?
I don't want to compare myself to Mike Rowe or Roger Wakefield by any aspect. Those two guys are fantastic. What they've done for the trades is amazing. I am not at their level. But we are trying to be. And we are trying to be because we want to help tradespeople.
Right.
We want to help blue-collar individuals that in 2008 when the market crashed and went to shit and the housing market went to shit and service went to shit, we lost a ton of that blue-collar mentality at that time.
Yep.
And both you and I have a passion for helping those people.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that fucking takes, we're trying.
Yep.
If and I'm not putting Mitch on a platform, and I'm not putting myself on a platform here or a pedestal or however you want to say it. But we, if everyone put in the effort that we put in to make your community better, to make tradespeople better, to make the blue-collar employee better, we would all be at a higher position than we are now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not me, it's not Mitch, it's not Mike Rowe, it's not Roger Wakefield. It's the guys in our group.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people in our community. I know you talk to a lot of plumbers that will literally message you and you'll be like, hey, you got time for a phone call?
Yeah.
You'll call them. You talk to them for 2 hours.
Yep.
They will not join TradeWinds. Hey, man, if you ever need some help, fucking call me.
Mm-hmm.
And you answer the phone when they call.
Yeah.
Because it's important to you. It's important to me.
Yeah.
And I just wish that people would be more involved at their level, in their trade, real estate, whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. Healthcare, whatever. Trying to make everyone coming up after you or other people in your field do better,
mm-hmm.
instead of tearing each other down all the time because of different political beliefs or different views on the economy or whatever.
Yeah.
We would all be doing better.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need the government to hold our hand. We can do it.
Yeah.
All of us can do it together.
Yeah. Well, and the government,
not to get off track, but
the government needs to hold hands a little bit, but
Regulations and stuff. Yes, yeah, you're right.
They don't need overreach. They don't need too much power. Right?
Yeah, and that's what's happened.
Yeah. And ultimately, so that good and evil thing that we were talking about earlier, about how we fight evil to stop them from doing good as they see it, that's what happens when you give somebody too much power. You give somebody too much power and they have a mindset shift where all of a sudden they don't know what's good anymore. And what's good for them now is different than what was good for them on the platform they were running on to get into power.
Well, they think that...
So a prime example of that's like Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Okay? AOC. Any other... And I know I just named two Democrats. Any other young politician. Republicans, too.
McConnell. I'll give you McConnell.
Okay.
That guy fucking drives me insane. It's dude, come on.
And so those guys ran on a platform to get into their position, but then once they're on the other side, and once they're in that position and they realize how much power they can attain, financial power, right?
Yeah.
With, I mean, it's no secret, I'll pick on Pelosi with her back-end stock deals.
Yeah, fuck that bitch.
Right. Like, now, you telling me that whenever it comes, like, so Nancy Pelosi took a big position in Zoom in the week right before
they shut down the economy and said, hey,
right,
everyone's got to stay at home.
Yeah.
Oh, I should get in on this.
Right. And so are you telling me that Nancy Pelosi was able to make decisions on behalf of America with a clear conscience on what's best for America when she has this big position in now digital workplaces?
No.
And if we force people to stay home longer, my position gets better.
No.
If we force people to not congregate in person, my position gets better, right? And I'm only picking on Zoom. I also know that she took a big position on meal delivery services, your Grubhubs and all of that stuff, right?
And let's be honest, she wasn't the only one.
Oh, gosh, no. No. But, you know, to see somebody amass wealth at the rate she has off of the salary that she makes as
my husband does it.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Are you telling me Pillow Talk doesn't consist of we have to be in X, Y, and Z because tomorrow we're all getting fucked and that dude ain't pulling up his Fidelity brokerage account or Edward, whatever the fuck he's in, and buying stock? Fuck you.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, when you have power, it is a very respectable force that you have to hold in high regard.
Well, and to your point, there, I think there are three levels to this. Like, you feel like you are going to make a difference. You feel like you're smart. You're going to run for office. Okay. You run for office. Level two is you've been there for a long time. You've made some differences. You think you're smart. I realize I can make this money in this office. Okay. And that starts the turn of morality.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you get to the third level, which is I've made money. I've done all these things and I, quote unquote, I have been successful. Now I believe that everything I think is the correct way to go.
Right.
And you almost fool yourself into believing every thought, every idea I have is the right one. And now I hold the moral high ground.
Yeah.
That is the real problem. And that's, and this is, this is the term limit thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why these motherfuckers got to be out of there.
Yeah.
Because after those three stages, they believe everything that they're doing is the right thing, and they believe that Mitch Smedley is a complete fucking dumb shit because he's not at their level.
But I need your vote.
But I need your vote, Mitch.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not just Nancy Pelosi.
I mean, they all do it.
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, they all do it.
I want to stab that guy in the face when he talks.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of there, dude. Like, and he's Republican.
So,
but it's like he's at the same level that she's at.
Yeah.
He's done those three things. He's viewed them that way.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't figure out term limits, this country is in trouble.
Have you seen the press talk about how Trump has voiced that there's a way he could do a third term and he might consider it?
No, I haven't.
And that's all the headlines say. He mentioned to reporters, I think he was on Air Force One, he mentioned to reporters that there's a way I could do a third term and I might do it. And because Trump thinks so far ahead, I think that's a seed that he's planting.
To fuck with people?
to get people to mandate term limits, to make it to where there isn't a way, right?
Yeah.
And then he's going to be like, okay, cool. Turnabout's fair play. All you congressmen, term limits.
Yeah.
All you senators, term limits.
They should have them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should have them, and they should. The big argument is, well, you can't just turn over Congress and the Senate at that rate and not have chaos. No, you stage them.
Yeah, you stage it.
You stage them. A quarter of them are out after 2 years. Okay, if you get reelected, you're in. But then that quarter rolls every 4 years. Senate could be the same way. Like, this is not.
Yeah, you just go quadrants.
Or
you split the states up. You know, you split them up 25%.
Yeah.
Into four quadrants, and you have a 4 year term, or an 8 year term.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a total fan of the 4 year limit, for the main reason that, like, we've all.
Well, and I'm not saying four. I'm saying like four reelection, and then whoever gets reelected stays. But then when the start of the next one is, half of those are out.
Yeah.
Because they have run their time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like. Anybody who's managed people at any kind of capacity, if you've never managed people,
then shut the fuck up.
This is going to be hard to understand. If you've managed people at any kind of capacity, you'll learn that there is some time to get up to speed on learning even how to do the job effectively.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, it's silly. Simple things from like learning who does what, learning what path things have to go down to achieve something, learning the approval processes for things. If you listen to some interviews with Elon Musk, he'll talk about a lot of those slowdowns and that's why he's been able to speed things up faster, is because Musk is addicted to efficiency. And so when he gets like a permitting slowdown,
he'll study it, try to figure out a way around it
so that, like, okay, it's going to slow us down on this rocket launch, but we'll never be slowed down by this ever again. And so he'll study how to keep that from happening.
And for people that are anti-Elon Musk, and I know a lot of people that listen to the show are not, if you think that they couldn't figure out a good scheme to put in place, I don't mean scheme, process to put in place to make that transition period on term limits, but the guy landed rockets back after they took off. I think they could figure it out.
Yeah.
I think they can handle it.
He was talking about some permitting thing where they were doing a rocket launch and they were using a whole bunch of water to cool the launch pad. And they have to. They flood this launch pad with water during the launch. And they're pumping this water from the sea and it all drains back to the sea.
Yeah.
And the government decided that they needed to tax him $150,000 in the form of a permit for putting natural water on the ground. And he's like, mind you, this is like in Florida where it rains all the time. So natural water is hitting the ground all the time. In this water, we're pumping it from nearby bodies of water, and it drains right back to nearby bodies of water.
I'm going to be honest. I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, get some tanks, man. Is that what he did?
Ponds? No, no. They're taxing him for putting water on the ground. And it's fresh. It's
okay.
Natural water. It's okay. Not like city water. It's not like he's wasting water.
Okay.
It's not contaminated.
He's pumping it out of the sea.
Yeah.
Cooling the shit down and then pumping it back.
Not even pumping it back. It just drains by gravity back into the water.
Got it. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so they, you know, again, they're opportunistic in finding like, hey, we can grab another $150K from Musk here. Let's
he's rich. Fuck.
Let's tax him for pumping water.
Yeah.
You know, and so those types of slowdowns happen. The bad business people will talk about how much that fucked them and then let it fuck them again.
Yeah.
The good business people will say, okay, we're going to triage this and then we're going to move on. And we're going to put plans in place so that we don't experience this again. You and I experienced this just yesterday and the day before. We sold a price book to somebody that they bought the price book on a Sunday. And how it works, like if you go to our website to buy the price book, it tells you...
Today's Tuesday for everyone's reference.
Yeah. It tells you flat out, like you're going to buy a price book and it's going to get emailed to you. And you're going to get all these files and all these links to tutorial videos and everything.
Yeah. It's a detailed email that goes out. It's big.
And so we had a person buy the price book, and they immediately email, like, ding, price book sale, ding, contact message. I just bought your price book, and it navigated me away from the page before I could download them. So I reply to their email, and I say, hey, and this is on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even be replying to emails on Sunday.
No, for the record, Mitch and I never take time off when it comes to emails.
Yeah.
If I see it on my phone, I hit it.
Yeah.
If Mitch sees it, he hits it.
And so I reply to her and I say, hey, yeah, it's gonna get emailed to you. You don't download it from the site. It's emailed.
For reference, you can. I don't know why the page would have got refreshed, but you're right. We email all of those files to you. Boom.
Yep.
And it actually says that when you buy it.
Yeah.
So.
And so then she emails right back and she was like, well, I didn't even get the email. And I'm like, check your spam. Because a lot of times it goes there.
Gmail hates stuff coming from private websites for some reason when they have attachments automatically, so it puts them in spam.
Yep. And so we do all that, and she's like, okay, I found it. And then
fantastic, babe.
A couple of emails over the next 12 to 24 hours with just questions about things. And then she emails
yesterday.
Which
is no big deal.
No big deal.
No big deal. We'll take them.
Now, granted, all of the questions they had are in the tutorial videos, so if you just would have read the instructions that say watch the videos.
Like, you know what's weird? And I don't want to get on a thing here. Like, under the description and in the description, it says watch these videos.
Yeah.
And the videos are available to watch before you buy.
Yeah.
So that you can actually know what you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're listening to this show and you're thinking about buying it, watch the goddamn videos.
Yep.
I love you all.
And so then
shit.
She emails again yesterday and lets us know of a legit problem. Like everything else wasn't a problem. Everything else was her just not reading instructions.
Yes.
But then yesterday she does email us with a legit problem. So she bought an HVAC price book, and the HVAC price book, I think it has about 150 tasks in it.
It's got just a touch over 140.
Okay.
In the B column, there were the categories that were how everything was listed and would be broke down.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, after 13, they have disappeared.
Yeah,
to this day, it's Wednesday or it's Tuesday. 24 hours, Joey and my brother and I tried to find it. We have no idea what happened.
Yeah, we don't know what caused it, but
no fucking clue, man.
Essentially, no clue. There's 140 or 150 tasks in there, and
no clue
you
what
would
happened.
Break them down into category like AC repair, electrical repair.
Yeah.
Refrigerant, you know, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah, HPAC service, air handler service, furnace service, refrigerant repairs, things of those natures.
And so in her email, I said, okay, I can look into that. I'm away from the office. It's going to be 2 or 3 hours before I can get back to the office and check into that. In the meantime, I said, you can take the liberty and call those whatever you want. The book is customizable. And
it's,
so
it's an Excel spreadsheet. You, if you don't like that they say HP AC service,
yeah, you could put heat pump.
You could change. You could change that out and say we only call them air conditioners. We don't have heat pumps in our area. Okay, call them AC service. We don't care. Do whatever you want.
So I told her, I'm like, you could call them whatever you want. And then she got a little snappy back, and she was like, I would prefer the price book to be as advertised or whatever. And so I'm like, all right, cool. And I said, well, here in 2 or 3 hours when I get back to the office, I'll look into the issue and we'll get it fixed.
Is that when you called me?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, I'll either get you a whole new book, or I don't know how much, because the book, like every business has to customize it for them. You got to set your pricing. You got to get the wording right. You got to get the pay right and everything.
No business, so, even in the same city, is going to be the same. It's impossible.
And so I said, depending on how much you've already customized your book, I said, I'll either give you that column to where you can copy and paste it in there, or I'll give you a whole new book. It's whatever's best for you. If you haven't started customizing it much, then I'll just give you a whole new book.
Yeah.
And so then we get another email, and this one's from her husband.
Tough
and
guy.
It says, like, call me ASAP. And so I call him ASAP. Literally within 60 seconds. Yeah, within 60 seconds of getting the email. And here's where I get this long victimhood conversation. And
we have, for everyone listening, I have not heard this. Yeah, so give it to me.
And so he goes on about, like, he says, you know, we tried building our own price book and we spent over 20 hours trying to build it
because we're too stupid. Okay.
And we realized that this is a whole lot of work and it's very stressful. And so then we started looking at buying price books and we found yours and we really liked what we saw. And, you know, we thought it was going to be the answer to all of our prayers, only to find out that we're running into so many issues. And keep in mind, all the issues were self-induced except for this one, and this one is like a customizable field, which you could question, is it even really an issue?
No, it's not.
Right? And so I said, well, so I let him talk and vent and everything. And the whole time he's talking, it reminds me of the quote. We've all seen these quotes that talks about like $250 client. They communicate to you like, this is a large amount of money. Before we make an investment like this, we have to analyze, you know, the positive and negative reactions to this kind of investment. And this, you know, if this goes south, this could affect my family's trajectory for years to come.
It's $1,000.
And it's a $250 client. Meanwhile, your $2,500 client is like, when can you do it? Money sent.
Get this shit done,
right,
dog.
And so keep in mind, we know we have the cheapest price book on the market, hands down. And it's the best price book on the market. And this isn't lip service. Like,
no, it's great.
We've been told this by everybody. Like, our price book kicks Profit Rhino's price book's ass.
Yeah.
And in 2 months, our price book is cheaper than Profit Rhino's because Profit Rhino's is $150 a month indefinitely.
Yeah.
So, and so like, I'm not letting his state like it. I'm not letting his statements waver me at all. Like, worst case scenario, I'll give you your $250 back and tell you to piss off.
Yeah.
And so
let's be completely transparent here. If that was me, that's probably what
you may have
happened.
Done it. Right.
Yeah. I'm an asshole. I do not have near the patience that you have.
Yeah. And so I let him vent and everything else. And so then he's done and I say, okay, well, how have you felt about my responsiveness in email? Because you guys bought this price book yesterday, and we had 4 or 5 emails go back and forth yesterday. Oh, responsiveness has been great. You guys have been insanely responsive on email. Okay, cool.
Fantastic.
And other than this column that has the missing information in it, how is the functionality of the book otherwise? Oh, everything's perfect. Okay, so basically I've gotten him to admit that it's one minor issue.
Yeah. That you're being a crybaby.
And it's a minor issue that most people edit everything out anyway. And so
Yes, they do. Or they change it because they want, for House Call Pro, for example, that column B will dictate what your squares are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And lots of people want to see certain things in a certain area because it works with their workflow.
Yeah.
So most of the time they change them on their own. Like, there's like, it's 100% adaptable to what you want.
Ours might say AC repairs, and you would rather it say air conditioner repairs, like whatever.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, we fixed the glitch and we sent out books and everything else.
Let's talk about it.
We emailed new HVAC books to everybody that's ever bought one.
30 minutes after you called.
30 minutes. Within 30 minutes, we emailed everybody new HVAC books with this column corrected and with the information as to, hey, this column was missing information, so here's a whole new sheet. Yeah. And if all you have to do is just copy and paste it if you want it, right? Most of these people, because they haven't ever brought it up,
most
of these people just plug that information in.
I think it was a glitch. I think something happened. I don't know what happened because I know there was stuff in there. But I will say this, and I'm not tooting my horn. I'm not tooting my brother's horn that does our website, and I'm not tooting Mitch's horn. It was a group effort. We came together on a Monday within 24 hours of finding a problem, fixed the problem, got the emails out to everyone that has ever bought the book. We didn't go back and look and, hey, when did this happen? When did this blah, blah, blah? No, fuck that.
Right.
We got after it. We got it fixed, and we sent it on.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to tout myself, Mitch, or Joe. We did it because we have integrity. We have character.
And it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Something's going on. We don't know if it affected you or not. We fixed it.
Right.
Here you go.
So,
like, that's how businesses should be run.
When you encounter problems in business, we do what Musk does because it fucking works. You triage the problem today. You do what it takes to get past the problem today.
Yeah.
And then after you're past the problem, not before, after you're past the problem and after you've had a chance to watch how effective your triage was, now you re-examine how that whole thing even came about.
Yeah.
And you put steps in place to prevent it from ever happening again if it's one of those problems that could repeat itself, right? In other words, if you get a flat tire on the highway, you're not going to put steps in place to avoid that from happening again. That shit just happens, right? Now, obviously, if you're texting and driving and you hit something on the highway because you weren't paying attention.
Or you don't change your tires and they're bald as
shit. Right. But like the random blowout on the highway, you're gonna triage that and you're gonna move on. Like you can't put steps in place for that. However, if you let your tires go too far and they blew out, or you didn't check your air pressure, you ignored that low air pressure light and they blew out, and now you're forced to triage the situation. Well, now you do have steps you can put in place to prevent the likeliness of that happening again.
Yeah.
And so we're talking 130 cells that were missing information, and we're talking 130 cells that were missing a total of about 8 pieces of information.
Yeah.
In other words, it's the same 8 categories, or it's a total of 8 categories spread across like 130 cells.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so this is heat pump and AC service. I copy and pasted that on 30 lines.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, these 20 repairs.
20 repairs.
Right.
Yeah.
And so here this person was not triaging a problem. They were making their problem worse, and they were exacerbating their own problem to try to prove a point. And really, like, anybody who sees that you're just making yourself look bad. And I mean, this is a customer of ours, and I'm not trying to bash them. Like, they should take this advice and use it, that there are times where you have to triage and just move on, and you don't like dig your feet in the sand for that moment, right?
Well, people want to act as if their problems are everyone else's problems because they either bought something, purchased something, something happened, whatever.
Right.
The real successful people in the world take the problem that's in front of them and they task it as their own problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they find a way to get past it immediately.
Yeah.
If I were those people, I buy that book and I download the sheet and I'm like, man, I don't like this. Like, what's going on here? And I click on the cell, right? Well, what would I call that?
Right.
AC service. Oh, I can just type these in here. It's an Excel spreadsheet.
I can just type in whatever I want.
I'm done in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Or I can go out of my way and fuck around for 3 hours sending emails instead of just solving the problem that's in front of me immediately.
Yeah. Could have had it fixed in 5 minutes.
I want to say this and make it clear. It's our fault.
Yes. No, 100%. Yeah.
We don't know what happened. It's fucked up. It's not a big deal. We got it fixed, right? But the separation between winners and losers are those that put problems off to other people and those that take the problem and say, fuck you, I'll fix it myself. This is just like before we went to Colorado and your stupid ass is out there diamond wheeling a fucking hitch for your truck because you just wanted to get it done.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh shit, my fucking wheel's flat. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I have a plug kit in my barn. I'm plugging the wheel kit. I will take that problem and instead of wasting 3 hours of my time trying to get someone else to fix that problem, I will just fix it immediately.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. I want to move on from it.
Yep.
And spend my valuable time doing other things.
Yeah.
I do not want to spin my wheels and drag this shit out forever.
Right.
And that is what separates winners from losers, is really what it is.
Well, and you'll see that like people make their own problems worse all the time.
Oh, my God, man.
My MO is like when I buy a newer vehicle, like newer to me vehicle, I'll usually join a Facebook group or two about that vehicle just so I can get some information. What are some common problems people are seeing?
Yeah.
Kind of get a heads up on kind of whatever,
like,
right?
It used to be like going and buying the Chilton manual.
Yeah.
Like that was the first thing you did.
Yeah, the Facebook group's kind of a Chilton manual, right? And so you see this in those groups all the time. You get these like precocious assholes. Like you see this in the Ford Lightning.
Precocious.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
You see this in the Ford Lightning group all the time. These guys will go buy a Ford Lightning and then they start like picking it apart. This body panel's slightly out of alignment. The bumper sticks out a quarter inch farther on the passenger side than the driver's side and all this shit. And so then instead of just saying, well, it's a mass built truck and they built a million of these last year.
Yeah. Sorry, right? Your right door panel is out in. Quarter
an
of
eighth
an
of an inch,
inch
right?
What? Stop.
And so, but then they make the problem worse because then they'll go drop it off to the dealer and then be without their truck for 2 or 3 weeks while it gets worked on. And then they want to bitch about the time that they were out of their truck. And it's like, no, you made that problem yourself.
Yeah.
When you chose.
You know, you could have probably just reached in the door panel and tightened a couple of bolts and that motherfucker might have cinched up.
Exactly.
Maybe you should have got off your fucking lazy ass and just done it.
And so like a lot of cars have these, an active air dam, that drops down at certain speeds to make it more aerodynamic.
Yeah.
So the Lightnings have one and there was a glitch in there where they needed some grease and the air dams were getting stuck.
Yeah,
and
they don't have enough power.
They weren't greasing up very well. And so literally the factory solution, like there's a TSB for it. You can take it to the dealer, drop your truck off. You're going to be without a truck for a couple of days, and they're going to grease those assemblies.
Yeah.
Or you can spend $5 on some white lithium grease, and you can grease it yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm not without a truck. I don't have to arrange a ride to the dealer. I don't have to arrange any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And $5 solved my problem, right? And so triaging is how can I solve this problem with the most minimal impact and the best success? You know, the that's not my job thing is it like that's not my job statement outside of the workplace. It's not my job to grease this. I spent this much money on a truck. They need to make it work right.
People don't.
Well, cool. That's fine. But don't be extra bitchy when you're without your truck for a couple of weeks.
People have lost the fact that things take maintenance.
Yeah.
When you buy a home, it takes maintenance.
Yeah.
When you buy a car, it takes maintenance. When you get a wife, she takes maintenance. Everything takes maintenance.
Yeah.
There is no buy one thing and move on. What's crazy to me is like cell phones, for example.
Mm-hmm.
People buy a cell phone and then they'll update it and they'll dick with it. They won't bitch. They won't moan. They won't complain. No, nothing. But man, you get a truck. You spend over an X amount of dollars. They still take maintenance. There's no thing on the planet that doesn't take maintenance. Your body takes maintenance.
But then outside of that, people will create issues where there are no issues. Trucks nowadays, or vehicles nowadays, have more gauges on them than you can imagine. Have gauge, will question is a common statement, right? They've never owned a truck with a rear differential temperature fluid temperature gauge.
Why is it taking my temperature?
And so then now they have one that'll show the temperature of the rear differential fluid. I'm just making shit up, but then they'll post a picture of the gauge. Is this right? Is your truck working? Okay.
How about you open your fucking manual that's in the glove box, you lazy fuck?
Right. Like like, or they'll like my Super Duty.
This is an old man rant about it starting yeah. right now.
So like my Super Duty, the lowest temperature it will read for the coolant is 86 degrees. You start the truck in the dead of winter, 86 degrees.
Even though it's 30.
And it just sits there
until it can register.
Yeah, until it exceeds 86.
When it registers, drive it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And so there'll be people take a picture of their truck. Somebody better explain this to me. I spent this much money on a truck and this gauge isn't working right. And it's like, dude, like you're literally making a problem where there isn't one.
Yeah.
But those are the people that will blame their lack of success on other people, just like they will blame, you know, they didn't design the truck. They're just now learning how the truck is designed and it's not how they would have done it. And so they think something's wrong.
Well,
right.
And that gets to the political thing I was saying earlier, the three levels. Mm-hmm. Once they get to the top level, they think, oh, well, it's my opinion and I think it should have been done this way and it wasn't. So I'm going to have a bitch fit about it.
Well,
stop.
And that's why. So this show started out sounding like it's a political show. And we were using that as an example because why that makes a difference is there are a bunch of people out there that are choosing to make a problem where there isn't one. You're choosing to go online and get into political arguments where you don't need to. You're choosing to freak out about stock market when you don't even have any money in the stock market. Yeah. You're choosing to act like the stock market is the economy when the bottom 50% of Americans only have 1% of the stock market. And the top 93% of the stock market is owned by the top 10% of Americans.
Yeah, it's crazy. People act like they don't realize people are selling that stuff off because they know that half of the dipshits are going to sell off.
Right.
They're like, oh, I'm going to sell now.
Yeah.
When it gets down to this level, I'm going to put money back in. Okay.
Right.
Like
what good is it to sell? Like if
people that try to time the market, the reason the market crashes is because people try to time the market. Okay. Mm-hmm. The people that are smart and know what they're doing do two things. They hold their money, or they sell super early and they start the catastrophic event.
Mm-hmm.
The lower 50% sell off once they see it going down.
Yeah.
And then blame the government for the economy tanking.
Yep.
The market tanking. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say economy. They are the problem.
Yeah.
Okay? The top two are going to make money.
Yeah.
Because they know it's the people that hold on. I'm one of the people that holds on.
Mm-hmm.
When the market tanks and it goes down, I dump more money in.
Yeah.
And then when it comes back, I kept all my stocks plus the ones I bought, I made money. The people that sell immediately when it gets down there, they do what I did except they put all their money back in. The people that lose the money are the people that panicked.
Yeah.
Last minute.
Yeah.
And they are the problem and they are the reason that the economy is even as low as it is and then complain about it.
Yeah. And then you have dipshit politicians that celebrate it.
Yeah,
right?
They're celebrating you losing money.
The stocks going down because they can use that
to make Trump look bad
to
get
try to make their opponent look bad
and right. get reelected, which is why we need term limits.
So there's a local politician.
Idiots.
And he is ultra divisive. His name is Justice Horn.
A piece of shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you haven't heard of him,
I know
look
who
him
he
up.
Is So, I'd like to take him and Lucas and put them in a cage match together, and then when one of them's dead, kill the other
Frank
one
White in
anyway.
There and see.
Yeah, we'll give Frank White a yeah. bat and see what happens.
But so those protests that happened over the weekend, that were all over the nation, right? They happened here. They always happen at the plaza downtown here. And there's a video going around of a guy in a white truck that the protesters walk out into the street and block traffic.
Yeah.
And so he gets out of his truck.
And he barely, like he's driving, someone jumps out.
Mm-hmm.
And he barely bumps them.
Yeah.
He stops.
He stops. And let's be honest, the protester was trying to get hit.
Of course they were
leaning into his
yeah.
truck
yeah.
coming to a stop.
Yeah.
And so he gets out of the truck and he's all charged. And I would be too. Like, you don't entrap me and my family in my vehicle.
No.
Speed bump city if you do that.
I'm going to be honest. Like, that's how you get shot.
No, it's not even shot.
You're just going to keep going?
I just floor it. And what are you going to do? You know?
You're dead, dog.
Thump, 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 thump. And then...
You wanted to make a point. You made it. Now
yeah.
you're dead. Your head's fucking smashed like a melon.
Right. And so
Yeah, I saw it.
The
it
guy
was
stops.
Bullshit.
They get out and argue and everything else. Well, Justice Horn, and the guy releases the video of it.
The worst part is the guy gets out. His wife's telling him, get back in the car, get back in the car. Other protesters
are protester
opening,
comes over, opens her door.
They're opening the vehicle. I'm going to tell you right now, my wife
That's
knows.
That's how you get shot.
My wife knows that if I'm out of the truck and someone like is trying to get in the truck, you point and shoot, and we'll deal with it later.
Yeah.
And if you think I don't have that, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. The self-defense insurance for those that carry, you're wrong, and you're gonna be dead, and I'm probably gonna be getting
Scott
away
free.
With it.
You're
so
Rittenhouse.
Just fucking stay away from my truck.
Yeah. And so he posts the video and it goes viral as like a supposed to be a peaceful protest, and it almost got out of hand and all of that.
No, it was out of hand because it wasn't peaceful. It's bullshit.
Right, right. And I mean, for as volatile as that situation was, it did end very well. Nobody got hurt.
Nobody
got punched.
Yeah.
There was some shoving and some yelling.
Yeah.
That's
how you get tased, too, by the way.
There were a lot of people wearing masks outdoors and hoods and sunglasses outdoors during this protest.
It's because they don't...
They're hiding their identity.
Well, they want to cause recklessness. They want to cause damage and then say it's protest. Well, you know what? If it's a peaceful protest, you don't have to hide your face.
Right.
You're a piece of fucking shit is what you are.
Yeah. And so...
We got a lot of shorts in this fucking podcast, Mitch.
Justice Horn... makes his own post.
Yeah, I saw that.
And starts sharing his account, and he's trying to say that this guy was standing on the sidewalk and his motive was to hurt people and all this. And I called him out on it, and I'm like, dude, stop with the bullshit. Like you can clearly see in the video there's somebody standing in front of his truck. You can you're trying to say that this guy got out of his truck with the intent to cause harm, but yet he didn't touch anybody.
Yeah.
And he was being touched by all the protesters.
Yeah.
Like I get that you may have valid points from time to time. This ain't one.
Yeah.
He had to take his post down because he got crushed.
Oh yeah. Got totally crushed.
But also somebody posted some other video that starts, it takes place about 50 or 60 feet in front of the truck. And that video starts like 45 seconds before the guy in the truck does.
And
now you literally see the guy walk out into the street and stop.
Yeah.
And Justice was trying to say that nobody was stopping traffic. He got out. Yeah. He
and
had
then someone posted that video on that timeline.
Yeah.
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 I think you're a liar, buddy.
Yeah. And so like that's the kind of divisiveness that you don't want in politics.
No.
And even if the guy aligns with your morals, he's a fucking loose cannon. He's no different than that charter boat captain. Like he could be the the self-proclaimed best guy ever. But like, all you have to do is just do a little bit of research. You could love fishing.
I do love fishing.
You could love the type of fish that guy goes after and everything.
That guy's a piece of shit.
You could love his political affiliation,
Keith. And
but
I
ain't getting on a boat with that loose cannon.
No, fuck no.
You know. And so,
you know what I think? For those of you that listen to this show, I don't want to railroad Mitch here. Buy bear spray, keep it in your truck, and when that shit happens, let that thing fly out the window.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers will be running for their lives. You ever been hit with bear spray? Uh-uh. It's like pepper spray times 75,000.
Oh, cool.
I'm thinking I might get some.
My bear spray's in a brass casing. it's high speed lead particles.
I don't want to say something that I will have to plead the fifth to later, so I'm not going to say shit. I'm going to say non-lethal methods of beanbags, pellets, and bear spray.
There you go. But
how about that?
But ultimately, like, there's another situation
Even
right
though I
there
agree with
where
you.
People were creating their own problem and then trying to play victim. They were they were making a problem where there wasn't
They're
one.
They're trying to manipulate the outcome that they want.
Yeah. And you know? So, like, anybody advocating for the stock market to tank right now is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like it's going to do what it's going to do no matter what I say.
Yeah.
It's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Right? And so my job isn't to voice my uneducated opinion on the stock market. My job is to do what I think's in my best interest for me personally and my family and the people that I am in charge of.
And the people in TradeWinds.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean. People I'm in charge of. So like kids, my
employees.
You're
not in charge of them, but we will do.
We still have a vested interest to look after them and make sure that they have the best outcomes they can.
We will do whatever we have to do to protect those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And make sure that they're doing well.
So Justice Horn.
I lose sleep over it constantly.
Justice Horn's been getting tagged a lot from outsiders in those videos and everything else. And his, so this is a politician who wants to make change. However,
no, he doesn't.
These uneducated people, and I say uneducated in air quotes, they'll tag him in a rebuttal.
I got you.
And he will block them. He won't even entertain the civil discussion.
How are we supposed to coexist?
Right.
If you won't listen to any other opinions.
Right.
So are you a hypocrite or just a piece of shit?
So one of our friends, Andrew Powell, actually
Love
got a
me
couple
some ADP.
Actually got a couple of engagements from him before he got blocked.
I saw it. Yeah.
And he was trying to tell Andrew Powell, Justice Horn is a victim of academia.
Yeah.
He is on his third master's, like he's living.
This is what we were talking about earlier. He thinks that his opinion is better because he has pieces of paper that he paid for and thinks that his opinion and his rights outweigh yours because of his quote-unquote stature.
He tells Andrew Powell, he was like, I don't think you have any college education, and so I don't respect your opinions because you're not college educated. Meanwhile, he's defending all of the people that were out there protesting on the plaza, which I can guarantee you over 50% of them also don't have a college education.
Yeah.
So
we call that hypocritical.
Right. It's like those are the signs of a scary person that nobody should ever want in politics, ever.
Yeah.
Because that is a loose cannon that when you give them power, like they're already letting the power they don't have go to their head.
Yeah,
because
I think they're going to get it.
With their diplomas and their degrees.
Yeah. I'm so smart. Don't you know who I am?
Imagine how, like, and his behavior is wildly irrational.
Yeah, how about we stab you at a truck stop?
Imagine how wildly radical the behavior becomes when you actually give them a little bit of power.
Yeah,
right now, his power is fake. It's a piece of paper.
It's scary, man.
And in the words of Mike Rowe, never, ever confuse an education for intelligence. Just because you have a diploma doesn't mean you are smart.
No. First off, 99% of the people that have a diploma are dumber. I mean, and let me just argue it this way. You were convinced by someone you don't know to spend $100,000 on a piece of paper that did not make you smarter or your life better.
Right.
That's how you know that you're not as smart. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have this argument with my sister all the time. She has a K-State marketing degree.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetheart, stop.
Right.
What? Stop. Just because you were fooled into paying for a piece of paper that I don't even blame you for having.
Yeah.
I think you were duped, but it still doesn't make you smarter.
Right. I mean,
God damn it.
Let's just go. Like,
fuck.
Call a spade a spade. I invested $100,000 into a pickup truck 2 years ago that's now worth $45,000.
Yes.
You don't see me trying to spin that and try to say, oh, it's not like it is. It's actually still a really good deal.
No, Mitch is like, I got
it
fucked.
It fucking sucks.
I fucked up, dude.
I got to find a way to put lipstick on this pig, and the wrong thing to do is sell it and take the loss. The right thing to do is make sure I have, because I still have a loan on the truck, the right thing to do is make sure that I'm gap insured, because now there's a gap, because it depreciated way faster than the principal went down. And so make sure I'm gap insured, and then use the truck to my best financial interest until it makes sense to sell it, right? Yeah.
Well,
and if anybody's...
Well, and to squeeze every... It's a Smedley plumbing truck. To squeeze every dollar that I possibly can to make that gap less.
I drive it as much as I can because it's fucking cheap to drive.
Yes.
Right? And my other option is a diesel.
Yeah.
So, but even then, like, it just went through the dealer and had some repairs done to it, and it cost me $19. Like, I've literally only spent $19 in maintenance on that truck in 2 years.
Yeah.
I haven't even put tires on it.
I love you, but that thing is a dumpster
So,
fire.
Like, it has its perks. It's just the value tanked, right? So, if anybody's listening to this show and they're considering a Lightning...
Don't do it.
Do it. Just buy one used.
Don't do it.
Buy one after the depreciation has already been hit.
Don't do it. I say don't do it. You didn't have it for 3 weeks. People that are in business...
Yeah.
...do not want to be out of a truck for 3 fucking weeks, regardless of the value that it has.
I'm going to correct you there. It was 5 weeks.
I'm sorry. That's why I love you.
Yeah.
Mitch will tell me the truth regardless.
Yeah. But
don't. Okay? Don't.
But that can happen to anybody. There's a lot of people that buy brand new Chevy trucks and that DOD fails and it shells the motor at 2,500 miles.
That's also why they quit even fucking building those motors.
And now they're without a truck for quite a while because they got to handle all that crap. Yeah. So, but
agreed. Agreed 100%, buddy.
It's just...
I love you. We have got to wrap this show up.
Yeah, we do. We're an hour and a half. But ultimately, whenever you're in a problem, triage it yourself. Don't say that's not my problem. Don't say that's not my job.
Yeah.
Now, part of the triage may not be your job. Part of the triage may be, no, I can't fix this. I need somebody else to fix it, right?
Bite the bullet. Let's go.
Bite the bullet, get it done, and then put steps in place afterwards to mitigate the chances of that problem occurring again. But the last thing you need to do is don't bite problems that you don't like. Don't invite problems or create problems.
I was going to say create. Do not create problems that don't exist or do not.
Or that don't affect you.
Or don't elevate problems that are small into big problems.
Yeah.
By trying to have someone else fix them.
Don't.
It doesn't work.
I mean, that's the party that loves to stand up for the marginalized people of America.
They don't even know what the fuck that means.
They're literally. Like, they're judging Trump off the crashing stock market, but yet, and they say Trump's only in office to help his billionaire buddies. Well, if 93% of the stock market is owned by 0.1%, or 1%, not 0.1, if 93% of the stock market is owned by 1% of America,
yeah,
when the stock market tanks, Trump's billionaire friends are being affected by it. Yeah. So, like, this is what I mean when I say, like, don't put yourself in a position where you can't recognize a win for the guy. You didn't want his billionaire buddies to prosper. The stock market crashes, which means his billionaire buddies aren't prospering. I don't want to say you should celebrate, but, like, it's like Walt going on stage bragging about Tesla's stock tanking.
First off,
and forgetting the fact that Tesla's stock makes up a majority of his state's retirement fund.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The state employees' retirement.
To make him fucking look good.
Keep your priorities straight. Don't get distracted. Don't create problems where there aren't problems. Stay in your lane. It's that simple.
Stay in your lane. That's a good way to say it.
So until next week, guys, we will see you later.